I am so glad that you joined us for today's message, and today is special because it's our church anniversary. We are celebrating 26 years of God's faithfulness at Transformation Church and 10 years under my and Pastor Natalie's leadership. And when I tell you God has been faithful, He has been faithful. And today, I felt as all of the celebration went on, I really still needed to bring a word that was probably one of the most decisive messages I've ever spoken. And so I want you to join us as we go into week 3 of a series we're calling Death to Distractions. But before we do that, I want to just thank all of you for being a part of this movement that for the last 10 years has grown because of this platform and you sharing and you being transformed and you commenting. The team told me that 88.3 million hours of content has been watched on this one channel. It would be the equivalent of 127 lifetimes of content. What? Thank you. Because of that, people's lives have been transformed. People have been snatched out of darkness and brought into light, and whole families have been changed and transformed. I love you, and the next 10 years are gonna be even better. If this ministry has helped you in any way, I want you to do one of two things. I want you to share this message and all the other ones with somebody who could use transformations. And two, I want you to pray about giving so that we can bless more and more and more people. Today's message is gonna transform your life. Get ready as we go into week 3 of Death to Distraction. God bless you. I am grateful to be standing in this position 10 years later. Let me be honest with everybody. Didn't know I was gonna make it, but that's what faith looks like. I would like to encourage everybody that usually when you ask God to do something in your life, He's gonna show you a picture and not the path, or He's gonna show you the path and not the picture. Because he wants you to trust Him. And it would be a lot easier if He gave us the blueprint, the map. This is where you start and this is where you're gonna end. But if He did that, most of us would walk away from talking to Him. And so He allows us to live a life dependent on Him. And in 2014, when Bishop told me that his plan of succession was for me to become the lead pastor, I want to let you know I was surprised. I wasn't like, oh, bet. Been planning this in the background. You know how people want stuff, but they act like they don't want it, but they really is thirsty? I wasn't thirsty at all. Had a plan, was about to execute it, and then God tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, I have need of you. And today I stand in this position humbled, and I think the word that I wanna say is I feel sober. I feel very aware that this is nothing but the hand of God. I feel very aware that God has grown me in ways that I could not grown outside of this plan for my life. I am very aware that this ministry and this calling saved my marriage. See, a lot of the things that we try to get out of are the very things that are protection for you. I am very aware, and I want to say this to every young person, that I still feel young, but I've done a lot. That's because I said yes early. And I want to be very clear that this lie that culture is trying to sell you, that you have an opportunity later to say yes to God, is going to make you miss the most vibrant years of serving God. It feels like I just started and it's been a decade. I told the team, I said, I'm ready to run. What are we doing? I feel like God has renewed my strength 10 years in to being faithful. But at 38 years old, I can't believe I started leading this church at 28. Bishop, what was you thinking? I really realize that God allowed my yes to add years. My yes early to add years to my effectiveness for His kingdom.
And so 10 more years seems like nothing because of the way that God has already done what he's done in this year. And I just want to thank Transformation Church for being a church that is committed to representing God to the lost and found for one reason. What is it? Transformation in Christ. So today, I told them I still gotta preach. I said, we can celebrate, we can pop confetti right after church. We having a party in the lobby. This is not a party you wanna miss. We done flew a DJ in. I'm seeing some of y'all don't even know how to have fun no more. You need to bring your rusty hips out. We got some refreshments for you. We're going to be turning up Transformation Nation. I thank you for being a part of what God's doing. We're going to celebrate. And I want anybody, if you have a memory of me and Pastor Natalie, Bishop and Pastor Debbie, something over the years, today let's flood social media with memories of what God has done. Get old pictures when I used to have waves. Get pictures when Bishop had a different hairstyle. Get pictures of when Pastor Brenda was singing "To Him Who Sits on the Throne" at a zoo. I just want old and new and young and not so young pictures of all of us so we can remember, because memory allows you to get gratitude. And today, as we walk into this next piece of this sermon series, I just want to approach it with a lot of gratitude for people who have listened to me talk for 10 years. I used to get whoopings for talking too much. Pink slips, principal notes. They didn't know I was practicing for my destiny, huh? I need a refund on all them whoopings. I need something. I need reparations. It's Black History Month. I need some reparations. Today, as I stand here, I'm about to get to my message. I just want to thank you for listening, because a lot of people can have something to say, but if they have nobody to listen, it actually falls to the ground. And today, the message that I'm going to speak to you, I'm coming out of this very sentimental, emotional, amazing moment that we've been having, and I'm going to give you the word that I feel like has to actually penetrate your heart. So if you feel a switch, it's because I feel celebrated, words of affirmation, all the things there. Now I have an assignment, okay? And because I have to deliver this assignment the way that God told me to, I need everybody to prepare your hearts, get your notes ready, get your phones ready, because I believe God's gonna speak to you, whether you're in this room or you're online, about the trajectory of your life that may need to change today. Somebody shout at me today. You didn't shout at me, somebody shout at me today. I believe today is going to be a pivotal time in the life of anybody who watches this. And so I need us to go to our scripture of the year, as we have decided that we are going to be focused this year. We are in week 3 of a series that we are calling Death to Distraction, the Faith to Focus. How many people have an area in your life where it is just difficult for you to focus? Come on, we're not going to talk about all the areas, but an area that is difficult for you to focus. Like anytime you try to do that, it's like the smallest things come to take. It don't even got to be nothing outside of you. You'll start thinking about the laundry that you left on and ain't ever cared about. Where's my yellow shirt? Like you can't even fit it no more. But every time you try to do that thing, it makes you lose focus. Let me be honest. For a very long time in my life, and I don't know if there's any other believers or pastors that'll admit this, but anytime I tried to read the Bible, it was like my focus became so distracted. I mean, I could be, okay, how many people have read and you had to read it again because you didn't know what you read? Okay, I'm in the right mood. Whole chapter done. Don't know anything that you just read. Because while you were in the act, your mind was elsewhere. Could it be that the body of Christ and the world at large is suffering from distraction. It's not that we don't have enough time, it's that we focus our time on things that do not flourish. It's not that we don't have enough attention, it's that we give our attention to too many things so nothing can actually grow. And if we would be hot for a second, this year, for me and for you, will probably look like a repeat unless I put death to certain distractions, watch this, that have dominated me. Nobody wants to say it like that, but there are certain distractions in our life that have dominated us. For years of my life, a knife and a fork dominated me. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I planned when I was going to sleep based on the snack that I was going to get and what time I could get it. Okay, some of y'all, okay. I used to have all my meetings as well as social events around food. I would be at 5 lunch meetings in a day. Because there's no way we're going to sit here and talk without a curly fry in my mouth. Come on. Okay. I used to be dominated by images of perversion. Nobody wants to talk about it, but there are a lot of things in your life. I used to be dominated by comparison. What are they doing? So I can feel bad about what I'm not doing and what God hasn't called me to right now, so that then I cannot do what he actually called me to do, because I feel so low about what I'm not doing that ain't like what they doing. It made sense. Roll it back. Somebody yell at me, distractions. I can't tell you what your distractions are, but you sure do know them. You can ignore them. You can act like it's not a part of you, but some of you are literally in the same place praying for something God cannot do until you put a death to those distractions. And let me help you. He won't do it. You have to. He's not going to take her away. You're going to have to stop answering the phone. Okay. He's not going to shut Facebook down. You have to log off. Netflix ain't going to stop taking they $11 every month until you unsubscribe. I just want to let you know that your deliverance is going to come with the decision to put death to distraction. And so in this series, we've been studying Samson, but Samson didn't have what we have. We had something to fix our eyes on. And so in the New Testament, in Hebrews 12:1, I'm going to read this scripture, and I want everybody to see this is our scripture of the year. It says in Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. How many things?
Everything.
Some things?
Everything.
A few things?
Everything.
Everything that hinders. Another translation says the weights. And the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Watch this. Fixing our eyes. Somebody shout at me, focus. Right now, I'm focusing on the camera that is in front of me with the red dot, but it just moved. And if I keep looking at the camera that does not have the red dot, my focus is now on something that is now distracting people because I'm focusing on what is not focusing on me. And I could preach the rest of this message praying and prophesying to something that is not focusing on me. And some of y'all like, just turn to the camera. I wish it was that easy. I wish it was that easy, because right now, There's a camera here, there's a camera there, and there's a camera here. No, 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 no. The camera came to me, but what if every time the camera comes to me, I look at a different camera? Every time I'm focusing and fixing my eyes on something that's not fixed on me. The trouble is I'm doing what I think is right. But there is a light that is trying to tell me where to look. And many times we focus on the camera that's moving and we don't look for the light. It's been a minute and a half of me looking at the wrong cameras. But I'm still looking at cameras, and God says, look to the light. And when I look to the light, fixing my eyes on Jesus. I'm just trying to tell everybody through a simple example that fixing your eyes on Jesus is the way that your focus is going to be put in right perspective. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? Anything that's going on in my life, I need to put it through the filter of what Jesus has said. If he had anything to say about it in his word, I need to actually put it through the filter of Jesus. And write this point. Fixing your eyes on Jesus gives you the faith to focus. So at the top of this series, I did a vision message, and I told you that as this year, the word of the year is focus. Everybody shout at me, focus. That part of the way that God confirmed it is back in July, I had this obstruction come in my eye. And I love Transformation Church so much and Transformation Nation because I've gotten more DMs, emails, phone calls. It's like, you never told us what's going on with your eye. Are you okay? Can you see us? I'm praying for your eye. We done had an ophthalmologist call. We done had all kinds. No, I'm serious. Like, that's the thing I love. Transformation Church going to respond. But they was like, the eye. Is the eye okay? Well, let me tell you a little bit more about the story. I had this obstruction in my eye. It came out of nowhere. It was a blood vessel that bust in my eye. I could not see properly. There was something that was obstructing my focus. You couldn't see it, but I could, and it was distracting to me. I can't tell you how many times I was driving and I swerved thinking that it was something coming to me, but it was just something in my vision. So I went to the doctor because my wife does not play about me. And I was just going to wait it out and, you know, put some oil on it and keep rolling. She said, you're going to put some oil on it and you're going to the specialist. Said, yes, ma'am. Go to the specialist. They put me through all of these tests with lights and lasers and all this other stuff. And I've never had any problems with my eyes. So my eye is like doing more work than it's ever done in its whole life. It starts giving me a headache. It's just all of this stuff that's going on. And then the doctor comes in to give me a diagnosis. And I said, sir, what's going on? And this man began to speak a language that I knew not of. He began to explain things that I have never heard before and looked at me as if I was supposed to understand it. And instead of me trying to repeat it, I record everything. So I want you to hear what the doctor told me my diagnosis was. Go ahead and put that on the camera.
Fundoscopically, okay.
Can you say what you think I have on my right eye again?
Yeah, proliferative retinopathy, probably from your sickle cell trait,
Gotcha. Which
is causing intraocular bleeding. That's what's causing you the symptoms of floaters and blurry vision. And your retina is overexpressing a protein hormone called vasoendothelial growth factor. And so the laser treatment actually changes the biochemistry of your retina and lowers the local expression of VEGF. And the neovascularization should dry up.
I know some of these words.
Okay. I'm glad you went to school.
Okay.
What the heck am I supposed to do with that? And at the end, I said, thank you for going to school and dapped him up, because... And And after I recorded this video, I was about to leave the doctor's office with a diagnosis, watch this, that I didn't understand. I was about to leave the place where I could get answers. And because of my pride, I was going to walk out of there without an understanding. And what I want everybody to understand, it doesn't matter what your diagnosis is. If you do not understand how you got there, what's going on, and what you need to do to actually be healed, you are wasting your time because of a lack of, watch this, ignorance. And I believe that the enemy, who is the prince of darkness, which means he is the one that would love to keep believers in darkness or ignorance, would love for you to come in here, praise and shout, and not understand that all of us probably have something we need to understand better so that we can deal with it. Okay. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get what? Wisdom. You need to get wisdom, which is applied knowledge. But right after it, it says, and in all your getting, get an understanding. Do you understand why you're promiscuous? Not that you are. I know everybody's focusing on you being promiscuous. But do you understand where the hole was that was created back here that made you always present yourself as if you needed to be with somebody? Do you understand why you're angry? Or is everything that happens to you now an amalgamation of moments that now you can't even control any of your emotions? In all you're getting, get an understanding. And some of y'all don't even understand what has plagued you or been a distraction for years. And how do I know it? Because it's all through the Bible. When we look at our main character that we've been studying, Samson, I came to the conclusion as I studied his whole story out that he had a diagnosis that he didn't understand. So he lived with it until it killed him. Hear what I just said to you. Are you living with something that can be corrected? And the only reason you're not correcting it and you're not going after it is because you got a diagnosis, but you did not do the work to be delivered from it. So it leads to your death instead of its death. Okay, I know I'm walking heavy on anniversary. You want me to tell you the best is yet to come? It is. After you deal with your distraction. Okay, all right. As I've been looking at Samson's life for 3 weeks, I've tried very hard to stay out of the story of Samson and Delilah. I've tried to let you know that Samson made decisions before Delilah that led him to destruction. Because everybody wants to blame the thing everybody sees the blow up in. But it was everything that happened before that. And so as I realized what Samson was dealing with, he was dealing with a dis-ease called, watch this, the title of my sermon, The Disease of Double-Minded. Oh, I'm about to cook this thing. Samson was a double-minded man. And the Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Could the instability in your life not be because of lack of something, but it's that you have too much of everything? Let me say it one more time. Could the deficiencies in your life be because you're not lacking something, you let everything in? And because you let what culture says in and what Christ says, because you let what them in, they said, and what he said, you have become double-minded. So unstable. Can't trust nothing. Can't put nothing on you. Can't trust you for nothing because you just wobbly. In your marriage, you wobbly. Because you love her and still want attention from them. double-minded. I mean, I'm going to give God something, but I'm going to make sure my house paid for double-minded. What are you saying? Who do you honor first? Well, I got to take care of this. Nobody told you to get that house. Okay, let me stop. You thought you needed that house to fulfill an insecurity that made you not put God first in your resources. And so now you can't tithe, you can't do it. But the problem is you had different allegiances. And God, in his word, the only place that he compares himself to anybody, he said, you can't serve God and the spirit of man. He said, because you're going to love one and hate the other. And so many believers, when it comes to their money, double-minded. You want God to bless you, don't put him first, double-minded. Okay, it's too strong in here already. But I didn't make it 10 years by patty caking with you in the issues. I want to tell you the truth, and I want to tell it to you in a way that helps you. You cannot get married still thinking about the ex. You're in the future and the past. You are double-minded. And you keeping all they teddy bears and jerseys they gave you, and you still go buy the cologne or the perfume and spray it around because it just brings you peace. What you're doing is delaying yourself. You are double. And Samson suffered from the dis-ease of double-minded. Your decisions before Delilah are what set you up for destruction with Delilah. Because Samson had taken a Nazirite vow, knew the promises of God, but still decided to play with his destiny. He embraced it. I'll do it God's way and my way. I'm double-minded. I mean, it's to my own convictions. This is my truth. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all know the things that God tell you. Some of y'all on the fast. You did your own fast. God told you to do something, but you did your own thing because and he's speaking to you, but you're double-minded. His word doesn't matter more than your word. And when your word matters more than his word, but you still want his blessing and favor. Okay, all right. Let me come back up. Samson had, watch this word, a pattern. And this is what I want to let you know about patterns. He was double-minded. He embraced both. He embraced the I'm getting trouble right here. But he embraced the prophetic and the psychic. He embraced laying hands on things and the crystals and the chakras. He was double-minded. He embraced the horoscope and the Holy Spirit. Do you? Okay, so. Some of y'all, what are you, Pisces, Taurus? Baby, you're double-minded. Either he knows the purpose and the plan for your life, or that knows the plan. But he said in his word, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Please don't let AI get you out of the anointing. I need you to hear me say it. Look at your neighbor and say, stop holding both. You're double-minded. Stop holding both. Choose ye this day. Who you gonna serve? Stop holding that you will have generational curses when we've been redeemed from the curse of the law and we can walk in freedom. Stop holding that and then thinking God's about to do something. You're double-minded. Okay, let me stop. And if your practice is being double-minded, I need you to hear me say this. Patterns are practiced. Your patterns didn't just happen. You practiced them. Patterns are practiced. Patterns are premeditated. Anything you're going to stop acting like it just happened. Stop it. Just don't be a liar over stupid stuff. You knew you were going to do that. It might not have been long before you knew, but you knew. You knew you were going to accidentally send him that picture. Oops. Did you see that? You knew. Because a pattern is practiced. A pattern is premeditated. Watch this. And patterns prophesy. You need a prophetic word? Look at your patterns. Ooh, I'm stepping heavy in here. No. I'm gonna do something different. We'll see. But your pattern tells us that you're gonna self-sabotage about 4 months in. You're gonna get the logo, you're gonna start it, you're gonna post about it twice, you're gonna have a t-shirt made, and then about 4 months in, when you didn't see what you really wanted to see, you're gonna look at what somebody else is doing, you're gonna get discouraged, and you're gonna stop for 4 years. This is gonna be my year, maybe. That's what I wanna say when people say that. This is gonna be my year, maybe. If I could be honest, maybe. Because if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt your pattern, he has to divinely come in, and that's why you cannot be afraid of new things God calls you to. If he's telling you, go to a tribe, well, I'm not a peace people person. He's trying to interrupt the pattern of isolation. He's trying to tell you, do something. Well, I can't give that much money. He's trying to interrupt the pattern of poverty. He's trying to interrupt the pattern because your pattern is prophesying. And your children's children may walk in what you won't allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt. Judges 16:20. I've tried my best to stay out of the scripture because next week I'm going to take you into him really meeting Delilah. But I had to share this one scripture with you because it scared me when I read it. And I didn't want another week to go by and somebody not know that the hand of God is on you right now, but it's on you by grace. And I don't want you to walk out of here this day and feel like you can keep doing what you used to do and steal the same thing that he did last time. He going to do this time. So I don't know who this is for, but you're making me a week ahead of what I want to do because of your foolishness. Watch this. In Judges 16:20, it says, then she cried out. This is Delilah. Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, watch this. He thought, I will do as I did before. And I will shake myself free. The most scary part of this whole scripture. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. And I just came to tell some of y'all, y'all been playing with stuff. Y'all been in patterns and cycles and distractions that you've been saying, man, I'll do as I did last time. I'll just repent. I'll just go to the altar. I'll just do this. I'll just stop. And I just want to let you know, you never know which time is the last time. Hear me when I say it. Write it down in a point. I have a question. Will the next time be the last time because you ran out of time? Would Samson have told her anything? Because before this, he done played games over. He like riddles. He like playing games. He likes playing with stuff that can kill him. It's called pride. When you play with things that have the opportunity to destroy you. And he liked doing this. But every other time he did it, he was able to get out so simply. Because God was on him. And this is my question to us. Have we taken what God has given us in mercy and grace and turned it into something we feel like we deserve that has now made us entitled to it? Okay. Will the next time be the time y'all have a baby? No, I'm just asking. It was an oopsie, the first three. But will it be the next time? Will it be the next time that they find out you're stealing money from the business? Well, the first time my baby needed formula. And the second time I needed an outfit on my birthday weekend. I'm just, Will the next time you send the email to the wrong person that you've been gossiping about? He's been trying to, with his hand of mercy and his protection. And the delusion is that you can have what God wants for you and still keep doing that crap. You're double. You're suffering from a dis-ease. And this man couldn't decipher, as many of us can't decipher. Listen to what I'm about to say very closely. There is a difference between condemnation and consequence. So it is God's grace that will pour out, and your soul can be set free after you mess up and do anything that goes against his word. All you have to do is repent. That means to turn. And God says, I forgive you. But now you have to go to jail. The consequence is still in place even when condemnation has been eradicated. And most people think that God has left them when they are dealing with the consequence from their actions, and they then try to flip it like God has left them. No, if you make your bed in hell, he said, I'll be right there with you. But we gonna be making this bed in jail. Because that was embezzlement. You abused those kids, I forgive you. But the consequence is you are now labeled as this for the rest of your life. And I need to help the church understand that while you're playing with stuff that can mess you up, it's not just about going to heaven and hell. It's not being useful in this life. So many people have focused just on, am I going to hell, that you have not got into a place where you actually can help. You're not helping the kingdom agenda. You're not helping what God wants to do because you're so distracted and playing with sin. God's saying, would you come out from over there? Stop being double-minded. Stop playing with that and there. Well, I only drink when it feels, you know what I'm saying? I only drink on the weekends. So that means 2 days out of every week God gives you, you are incoherent, you make poor decisions, and you're not there for the family you prayed for. Stop being double-minded. And y'all be like, oh yeah, that's for the drug addicts and the alcoholics and all that other stuff. Hear me, Christians. Hear me, religious people. I just need you to understand, judging people and then not putting that mirror up to you. When you talk, look at her wearing that to church. This is a house of God. And their heart is pure, but their dress is short. Your dress is to the floor, but your heart is tainted. And you somehow think you helping God, you're double-minded. Because the truth of the matter is, if you was born in this day and age, you would have been in that dress too. We just don't know, have no Facebook posts to prove it. Use a hoe. We know. Stop it. Stop. Stop acting like you're so removed from people. Stop acting like that. And whether it was your testimony or not, too many believers have come into this thing where we've been extended grace and we've been double-minded. How do we let them in or do we not? Do they deserve the cross or do they not? Write this down as a point. Grace covers the condemnation. You cover the consequence. I'm just gonna let you know right now. The grace of God will cover the condemnation, but you're on the hook for the consequence. Samson has to pay for the consequence of playing with somebody who knew was trying to distract him. He loses his power based on him being in the wrong lap. That's why Romans 6 says, verse 6, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase for us? We should keep doing it, right? By no means should we do this. We are those. Somebody say, we are those. Who have died to sin, how can we live in sin any longer? What I'm telling everybody is you may stumble, you may fall, you may make a mistake, but being double-minded is embracing this is how I'm gonna live. And many people have not been honest with themselves. You have made a decision, I'm not going to wait until I'm married. You've embraced that I want a godly marriage, and whenever the urge is too high, you've embraced that I'll do what God says as long as it fits in with my plan. And maybe you didn't understand, like I didn't understand when that man started talking a different language about my eye. Because without him breaking it down, I would have never been able to do what was necessary. Today, all I'm trying to do is break it down to where you can now make a decision. Do I need to do something different? To stop embracing the parts of me that give me a dis-ease because I'm double-minded. Okay, I'm gonna move because I need everybody to get this last part. Write this down. Being double-minded is willfully embracing the promises of God and the pleasures of your flesh. I'm gonna say it again. This is the definition. Being double-minded is willfully embracing the promises of God and the pleasures of my flesh. I'm gonna do both. Y'all seen that Shannon Sharp meme where he says both. Capital B, capital O, and he starts spelling it like both. That's how many believers hope that this thing works. I can do both. I can think both. I can live both. Pastor Mike, why is this coming off so like straight at me? Because you might be double-minded. And what double-mindedness leads to is instability. Okay, watch this. Samson knows his assignment and his Nazarite vow. He knows it and he willfully keeps playing with God's promises. Write this down. Being double-minded is being one degree off of God's design for your life. It's just one degree. It's just, I know you told me that, but I'm gonna step over here. It's just, I know you told me not to hang out with all of them, but I'm just gonna hang out with one of them. When you make a decision that goes against God's design, it's a dangerous place to live. It's time to stop playing with what has the power to kill us. And let me make something clear real quick. Everybody, check in with me. There's a difference between being double-minded and duality. Hear what I just said. There's a difference. I'm going very surgical today because I need somebody to get free. There's a difference between being double-minded. That means I'm willfully embracing what God wants and what I want. But because we live in this fallen world, the Bible tells us we will have duality. Like I wanna do something for God, but I also wanna slap them. Y'all hear? Okay, I need where are the real people at? Like, I wanna stop eating this stuff, but it's seasoned so well. Like, when you live in a fallen world, every person will have duality. But duality, I can bring to God. Double-mindedness, I've decided to live with. Okay. Every time I face my duality, the shadow side of me, the bad side of me, the side of me that does what I don't want it to do, I'm supposed to bring, drag that. Here he is again, God. We looked at something we was not supposed to look at. And we looked at it way too long. Help me deal with him. Difference, double-minded. Hey, we don't got to tell nobody. No. I know we messed up again, but don't even trip. God's forgiven us. we're good. Confess? To who? My wife? She would kill me and leave me. My men's group, my tribe? So they think you can judge me? No. I know you're getting sick of your own filth. I know you hate living in this, but the only way to keep this going is we know God has a huge plan for us. But just a little bit of this won't hurt nothing. It's the difference. All of us got something in us we don't like. That's the fallen world. But don't hug it. Don't embrace it. Discipline it. Expose it. They did it again. My bad self did it again. He won again. But don't feed it and baby it and make provision for it. Okay. And see, 1 degree off, it's a beautiful thing, because if I'm 1 degree off, I can step right back in to place. But if I'm 1 degree off, the reason I had to say this message today, if I'm 1 degree off for a long time, 1 degree off for a long time becomes a chasm. Oh, Lord. Having dual thoughts is not being double-minded. Double-minded is a result of your decisions. Duality is the result of living in a fallen world. Could you give me the shadow self? Turn these lights out, and I just want to show everybody what this looks like. This is what most believers look like. Half in the light, half in the dark. I want everybody to see me for the part of me that's in the light. But the truth of the matter is, every time I make a decision and I walk in my double-mindedness, it pulls me further and further and further and further. And I see prophetically, some of you just have this in the light. And you worship. There's no part of your mind that's been in the light for decades. And so people, oh, there's Larry. There he go. Hey. There's Dad. Hey. There's Mom. Hey. And most of us celebrate when we get like this. Oh, man, there's such a person of integrity. You only see half of me. Because integrity is what you do in front of people. And what you do when nobody is seeing you. And I just want you to know, you can see my features and you know it's me because I'm halfway in the light. But what would happen if every believer would continue to contend for their faith and actually become a person of transformation? What it would do is it would inch you more and more and more and more into the light of who God wants you to be. And when the full display of view is in the light, this is what the Bible refers to as God's glory. It's when you can see everything he put on the inside of me, even if darkness is all around me, I'm still lit up. I'm still fulfilling the call of God on my life. I'm still gonna show up and be everything that God has called me to be. But the enemy would love for you to settle and being double-minded, just enough. And if this is how your soul looks today, if this is how your relationship with God looks today, I'm telling you, like I would have told Samson if he had anybody around him, will this be the last time you have to play with this thing that has the ability to kill you? Keep the camera right where it's at. Because when I step outside of the light, my spot never changed. one degree off. I'm on the other side of the stage. I'm on the other side of the room, and God's still looking for me where I'm supposed to be at. Some of y'all under the sound of my voice have been so far out of God's will. I came to tell you, but your spot is still available. Somebody needs to rejoice right there. Because he didn't change his mind about you. Yeah. He didn't change his mind about you. He's waiting for you. And sometimes it looks like, here I am. It's me, God. This is what sanctification looks like. It's not all at once. It's like, God, I'm gonna keep coming. God, I don't feel good, and I still took a drink this week, and I still cussed my kids out, but I'm like, no, keep coming. Tell somebody. Let somebody know that what you're struggling with and what you're going through. And eventually, you will walk fully. I feel this thing. Into the light that God has called you to walk into. It's time for God's people to put off double-mindedness and to reach destiny. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this place. Come on, turn the lights up in here. This is how we're going to end. I'm going to give you three decisions that kill double-mindedness and help me last the decade. Three. There's more, but I thought these three would be the thing to share with you, because some of you are realizing, man, I have walked in a level of embracing, not having fear, embracing fear. Like, it's not just I have fear. Like, you're saying, no, I'm going to live with this forever. I want this. This is part of how I discover. And God's like, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, power, love. Yeah, we're going to deal with it. Don't hug it. Three decisions. First one, I made a decision over 10 years ago to become devoted. I devoted myself. I took away my vote. I devoted. How many people have an opinion? When it comes to God, I can't raise my hand no more. Because Samson had made a vow to be devoted, but still raised his hand. Nazarite vow, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And Samson did all of it. He didn't take his vote away, even though God's hand was on his life. And I'm telling somebody, what's going to kill that thing in you that makes you double-minded is stop voting on it. Stop vote, stop. Take, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to give what he tells me to give. I'm going to obey when he has my full yes. I am devoted. What does that mean practically? Very simply, I am surrendered. It's been 10 years of me saying, God, dog, okay. I got to walk through this. I take my vote away. I got to love this person, even though I know they talking about me. I know it, God. And they on staff, Lord. I got to do what? Pay them for 4 months as they exit, Lord? Why? I'm surrendered. I take my vote away. Lord, these people talking sideways on the internet. They don't know me like that. Don't know me like that. And I got to pray for them? Go through the comments and call out their name? Lord, now, I'll do a lot. But praying for Big Jake 662. After that comment? But I'm D. If you would take your vote away, if you would say, no, I am faithful in marriage. I will be faithful. I've taken my vote away. Let me give you scripture for it. Luke 22:42. It says, saying, Father, if it is your will, this is Jesus, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I'm surrendered. Second thing, this is a decision that killed double-mindedness in me. First one, being devoted. Second one, committing to discipline. The truth about embracing my flesh is easy on the front end, kills me on the back end. The hard thing about discipline is it's hard on the front end, and it makes life easy on the back end. And the Bible tells us right here in Hebrews 12, 11, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be peaceful harvest of right living, not for everybody, but for those who are trained in the way of discipline. Some of y'all need to kill double-mindedness just by doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, no discipline starts off as a desire. But I'm telling you, if you just decide, then it will become a discipline. And then at some point, the discipline becomes a desire. When I started preaching and was yelling to Crazy Faith, I was almost 300 pounds. I couldn't imagine myself working out 2 days a week, let alone 6 days a week. And I would eat you under the table. I had sauces everywhere. I was killing my, no, I'm not playing. I was killing my temple in the name of Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit said, I can only bless the ministry to the level that your body can take it, I said, it's not fair. Because there's fat preachers everywhere, Lord. Oh, can I be honest? This is my relationship with him. There's big pastors everywhere, and they seem to be successful. He said, I'm not talking about them. For you, I'm going to stop this if you don't stop doing what you're doing. And so what I do, committed to discipline. And it never has gotten fun until about this last year. This last year, I don't know what happened, but something switched in me. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I pay somebody to come train me every single day. Many times I think about what I could do with that money instead of pay him to put me through torture. And now, 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning, 5 a.m., my garage opens. And I'm in there lifting heavier weights than I lifted all week, Sunday morning for an hour and a half, praying and preparing and worshiping and laughing. And I'm like, how did this happen? God said, you started. Yeah. Oh, God, you missed it. Some of you will never reach where you're trying to go because you just won't start. When I started discipline, I became disciplined. Last thing, I got to move, y'all. The last thing that I realized to kill the double-minded mentality and for me to last a decade is I realized I was defended. I realized that I'm surrounded. I think about all of the things that God has done in my life, and I think about Samson's life, and I realize we have no other communication of people being around Samson than Delilah and his parents and people trying to kill him. It was his adversaries, his parentals, and his distraction. If you're going to be defended, you cannot live this life alone. Why do we keep talking about tribes and small groups and coming to church and don't just run out of here when it's over? It's because when nobody knows you, the enemy knows you best. Do you hear what I just said? I can tell the people the enemy knows real good because nobody else knows them. And the enemy would love for you to stay in that place. And I'm saying we got to disrupt this cycle because you're living in this idea of double-mindedness that somehow you can be delivered and healed in isolation. The Bible says in James that people that get healed, you can be saved by Jesus. But when you get healed is you confess your sins one to another. You don't need the pastor or the prophet or the apostle or the bishop to do that. You need to turn to somebody on your row and say, I've been dealing with this, this, and this. And God says when you pray about that, that's where healing comes. But the double-minded nature would say, I need to talk to the man of God. I don't have more power than what God has given your husband, your wife, and your cousin. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I know everybody wants to be elevated. I'm just regular that just obeyed. That's it. And you have that same ability if you would step out of double-mindedness. A woman who helped me form in my prayer journey, her name was Mary. And she told me at a young age, at about 14 years old, she said, Michael, she looked me square in my face when I was mischievous, acting crazy, doing all kinds of stuff. She said, Michael, because of the call of God on your life, many can, but you cannot. And y'all, if I had a billboard for my life, I just literally can see that because of the call, many can, but you cannot. As we stand here at 10 years, a decade of leading this church, I realize the only reason I made it is because there were many times that others could. And I decided to take my vote away, be disciplined, and remember that I was surrounded by people that made me say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go there. I took away the power of this dis-ease to be double-minded. Do I have duality? Do sometimes things come in my head or things come in my thought? Yes. But every time the Bible tells us to take captive, you got to grab that thing and say, that doesn't line up with my destiny. No, that was a real thought, but I'm not going that way. I'm not coming out of the light. And as I think about a decade of what God has done in this church, it's happened because I decided. Today, I'm asking every person under the sound of my voice to decide. To come out of, to be delivered from, the disease of double-minded. It's your biggest distraction. Delilah was not Samson's biggest distraction. It was double-mindedness. It could have been Delilah. It could have been Delora. It could have been a DeLorean. It could have been Donquisha. Y'all know y'all parents be naming you interesting names. Hear what I'm saying. The thing I've learned about Samson's life, it was going to happen anyway. It didn't have to be Delilah, because the pattern had already prophesied that he's going to end up telling somebody where his power was. And can you imagine God's goodness to hide his power in something regular, like hair? See, your power is not in this great thing that everybody's going to see. It's something that God has uniquely just put there, and it's just normal to you. But he played with his power, and it ended him up in destruction. I wanted to say this quote as we end, as I stand here grateful, and as I believe that we're about to embark on another decade together. I'm going to say it one more time. As we embark on another decade together. Say two things. All my OG GCC people, come home. There's a space here for you. We need you. Your greatest days are not behind you. Your greatest days are in front of you. It's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say is, look what God did with our yes. Because we decided. The reason I'm saying this is because today I want it to be a line drawn in the sand for every person under the sound of my voice. No more double-minded. I'm not embracing both. Today I'm making decisions. That means some of y'all are going to have to throw stuff away. That means some of y'all are going to have to shut the door to distraction. That means some of y'all are going to have to move. Y'all, will the next time be the time that the consequences outweigh the convenience of what was happening? The team gave me some stats about what our yes has done. And today I want to encourage you that if you say yes today, a decade from now, you could potentially change the world. When I said yes to God, I had no idea what was going to come on the other side, but these are just some stats they told me. They said, since I took over the church and started pastoring this church, I've preached over 520 Sundays. Y'all, that's nuts. They told me that we have uploaded 2,232 sermons on YouTube. Now watch this. Now this is the one that took me out. They said because of those 2,200 sermons, 220 million views have happened. 88.3 million hours watched of sermons. Let me bring that into context for you. The average human lifespan is 692,496 hours. That's an average human's lifetime. 88.3 million views is the equivalent of 127 lifetimes. People have watched the word of God be proclaimed from this place enough for 127 lifetimes. Get ready to shout with me. Because of our generosity, in the last 10 years, not since 26 years, not since we've started the church, but what we've been able to find in the last 10 years of resources we've given away to others. Y'all ready for this number? 34,514,914 given away to expand the kingdom and help his people. Y'all don't know where to shout, but maybe this one will get you. In the last 10 years, we have seen 30,238 baptisms at Transformation Church. This is the power of our yes. When you leave double-mindedness and you say yes, standing all over this building, you could see people's lives transformed. How do we do that? At Transformation Church, in the last 10 years, we have seen, get ready to shout, because the vision is representing God to the lost and found. For what? Transformation. We have seen 173,562 salvations. Come on, y'all. Let's give God a shout of praise for that. Hallelujah. Before you leave, listen to what I'm saying. This all came because we decided to stop being double-minded. Hands lifted all over this place. I want to pray for two different types of people. If you know you're double-minded in an area of your life and you want God to begin to deliver you, I want to pray for you. Hands lifted right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, who I feel the presence of God. As the worship team comes, I thank you, Father God, that right now you are allowing us to actually understand and literally see the areas where we have been choosing you and choosing our flesh. Today, Father God, we thank you that we know we can't disciple our flesh. We got to kill it. So, Father God, I thank you that it'll never come under subjection. Daily, we have to put that thing under, and today, we need your help. Some of us have been walking with these patterns for decades, God. And today, I thank you, it's the day of deliverance. It's the day that we're coming into the light. Not that everything changes today, but everything begins to change today. God, I'm asking you to allow us to stop being in the dark and the light, but let us walk fully in to what God has called us to do. And Father, for those who need to receive you, I thank you, Father God, that your spirit is right here. If you're watching online or in this room, because there is a spirit of surrender in this room. If you're in this room and you want to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today, on the count of three, I want you to slip your hand up in the air. This changes everything. This is you deciding, I'm no longer going to be double-minded. I'm not going to live for the world, and I'm going to give God my life. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, people are praying for you, and your name is about to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I see you. Three, shoot your hand up all over this building. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Come on, I see you, my brother. I see you. More than I see you, God sees. Come on, Transformation Church. This is what we believe. Come on, the numbers are going up. Hey, TC, heaven is going to be populated because of our yes. And today, we add to that number. Everybody, just say this prayer with me. Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I come out of darkness. I come out of double-mindedness. And I turn to you. I focus on you. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again for every one of my sins. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, can we celebrate with everybody? Oh, come on, y'all. Let's celebrate. Hey, listen, if you just made that decision, I want you to hit the QR code or text SAVE to 828282. I was so passionate about delivering this message, I forgot to do one of the most exciting things and to tell y'all, in the midst of all of our generosity of giving away $34.5 million, which is crazy to even say, we also have been extremely good stewards over the resources that have come into this house. And so because of that, God's blessed us with 5 properties in this city that are unparalleled. And the team told me this past week, because of the faithfulness and generosity of Transformation Nation and how the Bible says, owe no man anything except to love them. We paid this building off in 5 months when we got here, okay? And then we bought some other things and God was telling us like, hey, I want you to believe me in crazy faith that it would be paid off soon. Well, less than 5 years later than when we bought the Transformation Towers right off of 75, it was built for $168 million. I came to tell TC today that we have officially paid off that entire loan. And we are now debt-free in that building. And it's a done deal. Oh, I feel the presence of God in this place. I want you to know that God is faithful to his word. And he started it. And he's going to complete it. Somebody shout unto God. Oh, this is just the beginning. Oh, yep. I said this is just the beginning. And if he's doing it for this house, uh-oh. I need somebody to begin to shout. I didn't think it was going to happen for 15 years. It happened in 5. I just want you to know. I just want you to know. He's in the business of blessing. And this is what, for all the properties we have, God has blessed us. I'm going to give y'all a business tutorial. The internet can't handle this, so we're going to have to do a closed family meeting for this. But for all of the properties we own, what was supposed to take us 35 years to pay off. Y'all don't, okay. Rome, I just need somebody to shout with me. What was supposed to take us 35 years to pay off. We are down to the last $15 million. Hear me. And if I explain to you what God has allowed us to kingdom own, it's changing the trajectory of the entire global church. But it's because we said yes. It's because we decided yes. Thank you, Transformation Church. And I promise you, the next 10 years, eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. I need somebody with faith to help me. Neither has it entered into the hearts of man what the Lord has already prepared for us. If you believe it, give God a shout of praise in this place. We love you. If you need prayer, we want you to come down. The worship team is going to sing. Join us for our party outside. Post memories of what God has done. I'm about to be out there meeting you, loving on you. Thank you, church. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Go out and live a transformed life.
You move mountains. You cause walls to fall. with your power, you perform miracles, and there is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made a way. You move mountains,
yeah.
You cause walls to fall with your power. You perform miracles. There is nothing, there is nothing,
yes, Lord,
that's impossible. And we're standing here.
Come on, say it one more time.
You move mountains, you move mountains, you cause walls to fall.
Transformation Nation, I hope you feel the spirit that is in this room, in your home. And honestly, I know you do, because there is no distance in the spirit. I want to appreciate you for being a part of what God's doing. And everybody who might have logged off, text them right now and tell them to log back on, because I want to pray a special blessing over you. People are out there getting ministered to and prayed for. But I told the team, I want to come and pray specifically for you. So right now, if you have a prayer request, I want you to put it in the comments. The team has them right here, and we're going to begin to pray. I want you to know that your best days are in front of you, because God is the God who sustains. And if there's anything in your life, a distraction that you have become comfortable with and embraced, today we are going to believe that that double-minded nature of you is going to be put to death today. I feel the presence of God right there in your home, at your desk, if you're in the gym, wherever you're at right now. I serve a God who is a deliverer. Ask the children of Israel. He can deliver you out of anything. And today I have some prayer requests here, but I want you to put them in the chat. I'm going to grab my phone and I'm going to start praying through those things. Let's believe God today. Let's agree. I need your faith though. I need us to pray together. Father, right now we pray for Cassandra in New York. Father, we pray for strength in her body and strength for her mom's health. Father God, right now her best friend is grieving, and there may be several people out there grieving right now. I pray for the grieving in the name of Jesus. Father, I know that your word tells us that you weep with us when we weep. So Father, thank you for the empathy that you have around us. But you tell us also in your word, Father God, that we don't have to grieve as ones that don't have hope, because our hope is in Jesus. So today, I thank you for your healing virtue flowing to everybody who is struggling with a loss of relationship, a loss of a job, a loss of a season, a loss, Father God, of time. Today, I thank you. You are the restorer, Father. And today, Father, I thank you for Cassandra. And I thank you for any person that needs restoration. Father, we pray for Andrea in New Jersey. Father, I thank you that where there's been doubt, right now you would allow there to be favor. I thank you for the favor for her, Father, while she's moving. I thank you that you provide everything that she needs. If you need a resource miracle, whether that's financial resources or human resources, I want to pray for you. Lift your hands right now there and believe with me. Father, I thank you. You are the God of more than enough. You are Jireh. Even as we just celebrated, Father, you paying off the debt through faithfulness. I thank you, Father, that you are about to produce ways for people to walk in another level of stewardship that is going to, Father God, eradicate debt and bring them into a level of generosity to do all the things they need to do and the things they want to do, Father God. We declare and we believe, Father, increase in the name of Jesus. More than enough, we pray for Kristen, who's in Indiana, Father. Father, even as she's getting ready to celebrate her birthday next Sunday, I thank you that her mind will be healed, her body will be healed, and she will lean into God. I thank you for everybody that's celebrating a birthday, Father, that this will be a marker of the next season of their life, that you're going to do more, Father God, with what's up ahead than what you did that was behind, God. Thank you for Jennifer in Alaska. Father, her dad needs healing and favor with housing. And Father, if the lilies don't dress themselves and the birds don't worry about what they're going to eat, I thank you, Father God, that you're taking care of Jennifer's dad and every person. Father, for anybody who has been worried about their housing, their living, their health, I thank you, Father God, that they will just look at the birds of the air that don't gather, but you provide for them. Thank you, Father God, for providing for all your children. We pray for divine provision in the name of Jesus. Speak that, type that, divine provision in the name of Jesus. Even as we're going, come on, I'm looking at your prayer request right now.
Father, I thank you for every person's family. Thank you for Kelsey and Vlo and Amanda and Chloe. Come on, y'all, keep them coming. We pray right now that Annette from Texas has strength as she's walking through divorce. Thank you, Father, that her heart will not be tainted. For anybody that's walking through a relationship separation, thank you that their heart won't be tainted, that they will be able to maintain pure in their heart and actually forgive. Come on, y'all, I need you to pray with me. I thank you, Father God, that they're going to walk in peace and joy unspeakable. We pray right now, Father God, for Jalen and Janet and Erica and Don and T-Lan and Cicely. And we pray, Father God, for mental health, spiritual health, physical health. We pray right now, Father, that you are touching the needs of every person. Father, even our Transformation Nation partner from India. Father, thank you that they will be free from debt and financial breakthrough in their life. Praying for every person that's looking for college and sponsorship. Father, for every person who has been affected by the fires in LA. Father God, even as the moment has passed, but people need, Father God, provision, I thank you for making a way. As you have made a way for us these past 10 years, God, I thank you that you are our foundation. Today, Father, we trust you. And we remove the double-minded thinking that has been keeping us on the road to disaster. Today, we make a decision. We will choose you, Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Today, Father, we thank you. And for every person that gave their life to Christ, I thank you that today is a fresh start for them. They will be everything you called them to be, and they will make it through. We trust you, we believe you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we agree, we expect. Amen. Somebody give God praise right there. Glory to God. Hey, listen, if you're still with me, I just want to let you know, I love you. Today, as we celebrate 10 years, it's not me or Pastor Natalie or Bishop or Pastor Debbie only. It's we are celebrating 10 years. This is your church. I pray for you. It is my job as the shepherd, even if you're not in this physical building. I want to let you know, I think about you and pray for you all the time. That's why we're doing this. Every Sunday, tell everybody when it logs off, don't go off, because your pastor's coming to pray and speak specifically to you. I love you. Turn up with me. I know you're not here, but pop some, not champagne, but pop some Welch's, huh? Pop some Welch's and get you, like, celebrate, repost. The next 10 years, I promise you, we're going to see God do so much more. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your kind words. Next Sunday, week 4 of Death to Distraction, I promise you, you're not going to want to miss it. I love you. Until next time, go out and live a transformed life. Happy anniversary, TC.